Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Audio Road. Welcome to the Pit, Politics in Trucking. I'm your host, Kevin Rutherford, and I'll be throwing out the issue of the day and then taking your calls and refereeing the discussion for the next hour or so. Lisa is here with us screening calls and keeping things light and fun. If you want to join in, simply press 1 on your phone and Lisa will be right with you. This is the show that takes the political topics of importance and relates them to the trucking industry. Sit back, relax, and listen, or jump in and bring us your opinion. It's up to you. This is your show. Once again, welcome to the Pit, and here we go. Let's head on down the audio road.
Hi, this is Lisa. Remember, to talk to Kevin, press 1 so I can pick up the phone and screen your call. You know you'd rather talk to me anyways. Or just sit back, relax, and listen to the show. And at any time you have a question, just hit 1 and I'll pick up the phone.
All right. Well, welcome, everybody, to the premiere showing of The Pit. Politics in Trucking. I want to thank everybody that was with us last night and thank everybody here again tonight. Come on, raise your hands. I know you don't know what the topic is, but jump in anyway. Tonight's going to be a free-for-all. Let me explain what the program Audio Road is all about, what we'll be doing tonight, what we'll be doing in the future. Audio Road is the series, 3 nights a week, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday nights. We're going to be here live doing these shows Wednesday night. We did it last night, started off with questions from the road, which is real similar to what we do all the time. Call in, question and answer kind of stuff. Truck specs, taxes, fuel mileage, tires, maintenance, whatever it is you want to talk about. Last night we were absolutely swamped. We had we overwhelmed the system. We can handle 50 people on the phone and an unlimited amount of people online. And within the first couple minutes of the show last night, we had over 50 people. Now, I don't expect that tonight with the political talk, but we'll see what happens. And we are already working on expanding the system. Last night, I thought 50 call-ins might be a lot, but we hit it pretty quick, and I know a lot of people couldn't get in, so we are working on expanding the system now. In fact, I might have something in place for tomorrow already. We'll see. Friday nights, Thursday nights, it's what we're doing tonight, The Pit, Politics in Trucking, and I'll talk a little bit more about that in just a second. Friday nights are going to be Trends and Technology. If you've been listening to the show for a while, and you go back to the XM days before the merger, we used to do Trends and Technology every Friday night. It was actually a recorded show. We didn't do the show live. And Trends and Technology was a mix of new products, new services, things going on in the industry. Didn't necessarily have to be new, just something maybe was relevant to what was going on at the time. And we also had a lot of guests. So if there was a new product on the market or a new service or something that I was interested in myself, as far as technology or trucks, we would get somebody from the company to come on the show with me and we would talk about the product. And it was pretty much an entire hour with no calls. Towards the end of that series was when I got together with Bruce Mallinson from Pittsburgh Power, and we started to do a pretty regular piece with Bruce, and we were using the TalkShoe platform, and we would have Bruce come on the show, and Bruce and I would talk engines and all the things him and I were working on with fuel mileage, and then we would take some calls. The problem with TalkShoe was it was very tough to control the flow of the show. It was very tough to bring callers in and then take them back out and know who wanted to talk. With this system, it's really simple. In fact, If you're listening right now and you want to talk, you have a comment, whatever, and don't be afraid that it's politics. I really don't have a lot tonight. I'm going to get back to that. But just press 1 on your phone, and that puts you in the queue. When you press 1, you go into the queue. Lisa sees on our end, I'll tell you, it looks like somebody's raising their hand. And Lisa will screen your call, see what it is you want to talk about, put you back on hold, and then I'll know that somebody wants to chime in. If you've got a topic tonight you want to throw out, go ahead. I've got some stuff we're going to get to. So Friday nights, we will we'll be doing the same type of show we used to do on XM, but it will be live and it will be with callers, and we will take a lot of questions. Lisa, chime in here a second. Are you listening?
Hold on.
I don't want to hold on. You're not doing anything.
Oh, nobody's... Okay, I'm here.
All right, nobody's raising their hand, so you're not doing anything over there.
You're right. But I was listening.
All right, good. Have you talked to Bruce yet?
I have talked to Bruce, and he is already set for tomorrow night.
Oh, okay. See, I thought we were going to spring it on Bruce at the last minute. We do that sometimes, but Bruce is good about it.
No.
So, tomorrow night is the Pittsburgh Power Hour. We'll have Bruce Mallinson on. We'll be doing all things engine related. So that will be Friday night. I think next week we're working on getting Mike Beckett from MD Alignment. Is that correct?
Mike Beckett is going to be on the 19th.
The 19th.
Next week is a surprise. Even you don't know what it is.
Yeah.
I guess I'll be springing that on you.
Okay, good. So those are Friday nights. Trends in Technology will bring in a lot of expert guests on that show. And we'll also bring in new products and services. That would have been a great way to release the Bose seat. Those are the kind of things we used to do on that show. Thursday nights, that's what we're here for tonight, politics in trucking. Normally, what I think I'm going to do for this segment is I think I am going to pick, I don't know, maybe 3 to 5 topics. Most of the politics, well, I shouldn't say most of it. Some of the politics are going to be absolutely industry related, directly related to the industry, such as hours of service, CSA 2010. But a lot of the politics are just going to be politics because everything affects us in this industry. And especially as an owner-operator, politics, whether you like them or not, will have a huge effect on our ability to operate a business. So we will talk about general politics, what's going on in Washington, because I think by talking about it, we understand it better and we'll get more involved. And I know a lot of people just don't like to talk about politics. They feel like they don't know enough about politics. You know what? It's really not that complicated. Understanding the issues isn't that tough. And once you start to understand the issues, you really start to understand how important it is to get involved and you know, be an informed voter. Have your mind made up about the issues and how you want to vote on them. And I fully expect that this show will be more controversial. You know, and it doesn't mean we have to scream at each other and call names. That's not what it's about. It's just about talking about the issues and why we feel like we do. I'm going to start off with the theme tonight, and I see we've got some people raising their hand, which is good, and we'll get to you in just a minute. Lisa is screening calls right now. Here's my theme, and I think I want this theme to set the overall tone for this show, because I think this is the big picture in politics today. No matter what issue we talk about, I think you have to put it in this context. And part of this is coming because I am listening to the book, Atlas Shrugged Again. So, you know, Lisa and I try to start off our day with an hour of listening to the book. Now, I read it the first couple times, and I read the book in my 20s the first time, and it was the most influential book that I've read as far as how I think about business and politics and government and policy. and it really stuck with me. But the second time I read it, I got a little more out of it. This time, I'm really getting it. And part of it is just because of the background I have now and all the time I've spent working on business and working with owner-operators. Part of it is because I'm listening to it 1 hour at a time. Part of it is because I'm listening to it with Lisa, and we stop, and this is her first time ever reading the book. So we stop, and I talk about it, kind of explain what's going on, and what I'm amazed about is how much I missed the first two times. And it was still a very influential book for me, but I missed a lot. And it's just because there's so much going on in the story. It's a novel. It's not government 101. It's not a textbook. It's not written like a documentary. It's a novel, and it's a great story. It's a very good story to listen to, and you get into the story, so you're not always thinking about the message. This time, I know the story, so this time I'm really getting more into the message. And here's what I'm getting out of the book this time. And this is, I think, what will drive most of my political topics is that every time the author – let me give you a couple more details about the book in case you haven't read it or you don't even know what I'm talking about. The book is Atlas Shrugged by Ayn Rand. A-Y-N is her first name, Ayn Rand. She grew up in communist Russia in the – I'd have to go look. She's probably born in the 20s or 30s. She emigrated to the United States and became a writer over here, a screenwriter originally, and then a novelist. And she wrote the book in 1957, I think, 56 or 57. And it was a pretty big seller back then. It was very controversial for a lot of reasons. It's a huge book. It's over 1,000 pages. And again, it's a novel, but it's got a real story to it and a real message about capitalism and government intervention into business. And now the book has actually made a huge comeback in the last couple of years because even though it was written in the 50s, you see what she wrote about in that book going on in our government and in business right now. It's scary to be reading the book again and seeing. So it's really coming back. If you go to audible.com, you can get the book in audio format. It's 53 hours of listening. So it'll keep you busy for a long time. But it's a great story. Of all the books I've recommended over the years, this is one that I always get the most feedback about as far as just it having an impact on people. I get more feedback on this book than anything else. And the message and the thing that I'm getting out of it this time is that every time she introduces a character in the book, and we actually have a big printout, Lisa and I do, of all the characters in the book, who they are and you know what they're about. It's kind of like a cheat sheet and keeps everybody straight in the book. As soon as she introduces somebody in the book within sentences, I can tell you this time which group they're going to belong to. And just about everybody in the book is separated into two groups. And the people who have read the book already know what's coming. People in the book are separated into looters and moochers. That's one group. Looters and moochers is one group. And the second group, those are the producers. And that's it. You're either one or the other in that book. And I can tell you within sentences just the way she starts to describe the character, who's who. And to bring it into to today's terms, producers are small business and workers who take responsibility. You don't have to be in business or own a business to be a producer. And it's the same way in the book. It's just that you take responsibility for what you do, and you're producing things for the economy. And the looters and the moochers are the people who believe that government has to be the one to take care of us. that the free market doesn't work. Those are the looters and the moochers are the people who truly believe that the free market doesn't work, and that if the government doesn't get in between us and business in general, that businesses will take advantage of us, that we are not smart enough to be able to make decisions on our own, and the government needs to be involved in all aspects of our life and aspects of business. And boy, if you look around, it's scary. It's happening more and more all the time. I had a bunch of examples of just what's going on in the economy today and in government today. The first one that is being talked about all week long is the new budget and the new tax proposals that are going on in government. This is exactly what's talked about in the book. Another one that's making me crazy right now is what the government is trying to do with retirement, and I can promise you that this is just my number, that 95% of the people don't get this one. They're not going to understand why the government is doing what they're doing, what they're proposing right now with retirement plans. When you look at the tax bill that they're talking about right now, it is absolutely anti-business, and not just big business. I'm not talking about, you know, this is anti-Exxon or anti-General Motors or anti-Microsoft. This is anti-business, small business. And government's definition of small business is, you know, the size of the business that really drives this economy. And that's exactly what they are going to put out of business with the kind of tax proposals they're talking about. You know, when they talk about individuals earning over $200,000 a year, for the average person, that seems like a lot of money for earnings. But those people are almost always small business owners that still file personal tax returns, whether they're an S-corp or a sole proprietor. And those are the people that provide jobs. And all of the tax proposals right now are going to kill that level of business. And if we think the economy is going to turn around when we tax the entities that we need to create the jobs, it's not going to happen. This will, if some of these tax proposals go through, this will be the final nail in the coffin of turning this economy around anytime soon. I've got some other things, but I see a lot of hands going up, which is great. So I want to get some feedback. And here's what I think I got off track back then when I said how I'm going to run this show in the future. Tonight's kind of a get used to the idea, the whole political thing. And in the future, what we're going to do is sometime during the week before Thursday night, I'll get a poll out on the website. I'll pick 3 to 5 topics, industry-related, politics, but I'll get a poll out and I'll allow everybody to vote on what topics we at least start with. And based on that poll, that's what I'll open up the show with. That's what we'll talk about. We'll move from one to another if we have time. But like always on the show, if we keep it to politics, this show is really about you. You bring a topic. If you want to talk about something other than what I start with, by all means do it. I'll try to be the referee and figure out where we're going to go with the show. Let's go to Carrie. I think Carrie should be our first caller on this show. Carrie, are you with me? Uh-oh, hold on. The whole technical thing. There we go. Carrie, are you with me?
Are you there?
I'm here.
All right. How you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. Great to have you here.
I'm loving this podcast, I'm telling you.
We're excited about it.
I think I need to be called Hank Reardon.
Yeah. You know, one of the things I wish I could do on here, We've been working on another system of webinars. Have you been in any of the webinars I've done yet?
No, they're always at a bad time for me.
Yeah, it's just, you know, it's another project that we're working on in tandem. But the webinar system that we use, people can actually raise their hand just in response to a question. Like I could say, how many people have read the book Atlas Shrugged? And everybody could hit a button and it would raise their hand and it would count them for me. It's a very cool system. I'd love to know how many people have read the book. And if you haven't, Hank Reardon is really like one of the top, certainly the top five characters in the book, if not one or two.
He's like me. He keeps on fighting against him.
He does. It's an absolute fight against the government. That's what the book's all about. And, you know, I have to tell you, when I first read the book in my 20s, I loved the book, but I thought, you know what, it's kind of really out there. The government's never going to be as bad as it is in this book.
It's scary, isn't it? You're seeing it happen right in front of your eyes.
We are seeing it. And it might be worse than what's in the book in some ways.
Yes, it could be, because, it could be worse because now we got communication. Can you imagine if all them people in them little villages knew what was going on nationwide, what would happen?
Well, that's what's going to be interesting to see this time. And I have to admit, as far as politics have gone this week, I'm a little out of touch. I usually read a lot more news, and I watch several shows on politics throughout the week. I've watched nothing this week, and earlier today, we were really swamped today, and earlier today, I happened to just turn on the news real quick, and I saw Obama on talking about health care again, and I thought this was dead.
No, it's not dead. They're working in the back.
He's talking like he made the comment they're closer than ever.
Yep. All they got to do is convince the House to go along with the Senate bill, and the Senate, the House is trying to get the Senate to promise that if they pass the Senate version, that the Senate will go back and tweak it to include the House's version. And if the House agrees to the Senate version, it's a done deal.
Unbelievable that
it doesn't have to come up for another vote.
I thought after the elections in Massachusetts that they actually got it, that they were actually listening to the people. And they said this, but I guess I should have realized that their lips were moving.
They don't care what we think.
Their lips were moving and they're lying again because they said, you know, there's no big hurry on health care. The American people have spoken and we need to take a step back and think about what they want. That was their tone.
That's so that they can redo their phone lines from being melted. Because the phone lines have been melted, I'm telling you. The people have spoken, but they're not listening to us.
They're not. They're absolutely not. If they think that they should pass this healthcare bill in any form right now, then they're absolutely not listening to us. Because the people, you know, he came on today and he's talking about, he was saying it as though all the people cared about was the way they were trying to do it. And if they do it a different way, then everything will be okay. That's not what the people are mad about. The people are mad about the fact that they're doing it, period.
Right. It should not cost the taxpayer a dime to fix health care. Not one dime.
When he was talking today, I thought maybe I was watching a rerun because he kept talking about the fact that these proposals are budget neutral, deficit neutral. No, they're not. I thought that we've already proven they're not deficit neutral, and he's talking about them again like they are.
Yeah, and we're going to be taxed for, 4 years before we get a ounce of healthcare?
Yeah. How is that possibly deficit neutral when the entire country has to pay for 4 years before anybody gets any benefit?
Right,
and then
exactly.
The people who earn above $200,000, or the whole Cadillac plan thing, and it's all coming back. They're not changing anything. They're voting on the exact same bills that were already there.
And you know that $200,000 and $250,000, that is gross. That's not net. How many teams out there married teams filing jointly make over $200,000 to $250,000 a year.
Almost all small businesses are going to get hit by this.
And that is the engine. Small businesses are the engine of America.
Yes.
It's not General Electric. It's not Microsoft.
Not even close.
Small business.
Yep. Absolutely. The entrepreneur who is going to get punished so hard with these new tax proposals, it's not even funny. Here's the other thing that kind of drives me nuts. One of the things he's talking about in the whole tax, we're only going to tax the rich thing, he's talking about capital gains again.
Yeah, I've got capital gains. I'm not rich. I make $50,000 a year. I've got dividends and capital gains.
He's talking about capital gains on and like, you know, let's tax capital gains, or there's actually some breaks on cap. They're calling them breaks, but he doesn't realize that small business, the business itself, doesn't pay any capital gains. He's talking about these breaks for business in capital gains like it's a good thing. It means nothing. A small corporation pays no capital gains. A small corporation pays all of their tax in income tax, and that's going up, not down.
Sole proprietor.
Absolutely. Even as an S-Corp, we pay all of our tax in income tax, not capital gain. Capital gain is investment income and sales, and that's not what happens in a small corporation. All of your money comes through, and it's taxed as income tax, and those are all going up. Unbelievable. All right.
He's against the small people.
I see we've got a lot of people who want to jump in now. There are hands everywhere. So I've got
them.
Great to have you on the inaugural show. And we will I'm going to scroll. Uh-oh, who is that? Who did I just put on the air? One second. Matt, it's you. I did that on accident, but it's your turn. Let me see. Matt, are you with me? Matt? No, it's not working. All right, I'm going to try to come back to you in a second. You're going to have to bear with us on the whole technical thing here. My switchboard just overwhelmed me. Let's try Eric. Are you with me?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yep, you sound great. Go ahead.
How you doing tonight?
I'm doing good.
I finance owner-operators for a living, and I work with – I just started my own company about 2 weeks ago, so I may be one of those entrepreneurs that may be into having some tax problems down the road if I do well. But
hold on one second. I want to make sure I'm clear on this. You just started a business financing owner-operators?
I don't do it directly. What I do is I connect carriers, good quality carriers that – freight's starting to pick up right now, and good quality carriers, I match them together with funding sources / equipment providers that have equipment against the fence that we could possibly put maybe a less than stellar credit owner operator into that truck with a good quality haul that guy will get miles, and maybe make that lender, maybe not make them whole, but if they can get more than 30 cents on the dollar, which they're getting an auction, that's my goal. And I'm trying to push this.
What a great idea.
And you know, one of the good things about this is, and it's very directly related, banking, obviously, and government controls and regulations are directly correlated. One of the problems and one of the benefits for me and why I'm doing this right now, it's the best time to do this, literally. I mean, I'm sold on myself. It's the best time. But the new emissions that are coming out for 2010, they add $10,000 to $20,000 per truck. So these carriers are going out and buying new trucks instead of paying 80 to 90, and they're buying fleet volumes. They're paying 110 to 120, plus they're paying about 9 cents per mile maintenance on the back end. So they're getting hit on the front end with a $20,000 increased government tax. Basically, they just say, "Oh, well, we'll just add 10,000 new trucks," and that's going to move forward every year.
Can I jump in real quick? Hold that thought, because I want you to keep going, because I want to jump in on this. One of the things that we're not seeing the full impact of those prices right now, because you talked about 10 to 20,000 just on the truck alone, and we're not seeing the impact on that price yet, because truck sales are so depressed that even with those additional costs, the manufacturers are making wild deals just to move some trucks off the lot. So
exactly.
We're not really feeling that price yet. When the if the economy comes back, if the government gets out of the way, and we get back to some reasonable levels of truck sales, then we're going to see what those new engines and emissions have really done to truck prices when there's a little bit of supply and demand going on. Then we're going to see how much we have to pay for a new truck.
You're exactly right, and it comes all the way down to the consumer. I mean, it's pushed all the way down. It's pushed through the corporations, whether they're big carriers or individual owner-operators. It's pushed down to the consumer when you buy products. However, the taxes put out initially, it is passed down. I mean, you're exactly right, and we will feel it when this thing starts pulling, when this thing starts turning around, and it's on its way right now, at least on our side. Fortunately, we're in a leading indicator, so we're going to see it pick up on our side before the rest of the economy. But what's happening is the smarter carriers, I probably shouldn't say smarter, but the carriers that really understand it and get it have decided to go towards used inventory, 05, 06, 07s versus 09s or 2010s. They're half the price, and there's a lot of them on the fence, and you can pick them up cheap. Whether they want to kiss the paper or they want to do some kind of a carrier program, that's what I'm actually trying to put together is these programs right now. And that's, I wanted to see what you thought about that and just how it relates to government and banking, because obviously if banking guidelines are real strict, they're not going to loan to owner-operators when they have all these ridiculous guidelines. They want a perfect owner-operator. There's no such thing. There's no perfect credit scenario. And that's something that I'm having a challenge with right now, obviously. But I think, you know, I just wanted to see what your thoughts were on that and if you thought those guidelines were going to relax or what you thought about that.
You know, I don't see them relaxing. And the crazy thing about the you know, they keep talking about stimulating the economy, and they put all these, you know, the bailout plans and all this money that's supposed to be out on the street, but it's not getting to the hands of the consumer. And,
sure.
And you know, I was totally against the bailouts in the first place. All the money's put out there, and where did it go? We keep getting all these reports that it wasn't even spent, and what was spent, it was absolutely ridiculous, but we could have just given the money to people and it would have done more good than the jobs, so-called jobs that it was supposed to create and hasn't. Here's the problem. You put all the money in the system you want, but one thing, it's too hard to borrow right now, and lenders don't want to lend because they're too afraid of what's going on. And the biggest reason, in my opinion, why everybody is still afraid is because we don't know what the government's going to do. We don't know how they're going to tax us. We don't know what they're going to do with health care. We don't know what they're going to do with the tax system. They've got all these wild proposals on the table, and nothing's happening. So everybody's sitting back saying, wait a minute, I can't borrow any money to hire people because I don't know if I want more employees under what might happen in the government. The lenders are saying, look, we can't lend this money to small businesses who might be wiped out by these new tax proposals.
Sure.
So everybody's sitting back saying, we have to wait to see what the government's going to do. There's too much instability in what government might do to us right now.
Sure, sure. That makes sense.
So I love your idea. And you know, I was talking about the book and the looters and the moochers, and you're the producer. You're the engine. You're the guy that says, here's an idea, here's a need, and I'm going to take the risk and I'm going to go fill that need. And when our economy worked the way it was supposed to work and the government wasn't in the way, that was a wonderful idea. And it still is. I don't want to, you know, tell you it's not. I think it's a great idea. But there are so many good ideas out there that would restart the economy, and the government's still in the way. If nothing else, they're in the way because they won't do anything, and we're all sitting back waiting for something to change.
Well, fortunately, I had some really good news today. I put together two big programs for two huge trucking companies, and I'm lining them up right now. And I've got a huge, I guess you could call it a transportation conglomerate or equipment conglomerate with a huge dealership network, and I'm putting them together right now. And it's actually taking place in the next couple weeks. So it's you know, everything's looking good. It's taken me a few years of pitching these products, and even though the market is the way it is, you know, and the Chinese New Year or whatever you want to call it's going on right now, where Asia's pretty much shut down for the month of February, March is going to be absolutely out of control. There's enough people have gone bankrupt, enough carriers have gone bankrupt, enough owner-operators, enough banks have gone out, that the capacity, whether it's going through auction or it's sitting on the fence at some dealership, it's came off the street. And unfortunately, that's happened to a lot of owner-operators. But it had to happen. You know, the strong survive. That's survival of the fittest. The people that have made it this far, if they can make it one more month, they're going to see it. It's going to really start popping.
I think
so. That's a good thing from an owner-operator's perspective.
And from what I gather, based on what you've said so far, you're looking to put some first-time owner-operators into some of these trucks, right?
Exactly.
Okay.
And they could be with other lease purchase programs. I mean, it could be drivers wanting to be an owner-operator. You know, I don't see why, if they're with a good carrier that's going to run them and give them mileage. Now, the owner-operators have their own authority, and that's all I used to finance in the past. That model is a tough model in this market.
It really is. I'm going to do a whole show about that whole model, because I could talk easily for an hour about, you know, why that's so tough, and that it's just a great topic.
You're right.
Hey, you know, this is my show, and we really haven't decided on a format yet. It's kind of a free-for-all. So I wonder if anybody will mind if I do a little business while we're on the call here, because I've got an idea for you.
Okay.
Have you heard me talk about my DVD course of action?
No, this is the first time I ever listened to you. I just got the email right before I called in.
Oh, so you're not a listener on satellite, Sirius or XM?
No, sir.
Oh, wow. Okay. Then it would take me a while to, you know, describe my background and the show and all the things I do. But I've got a DVD. I've been teaching owner operators how to get started in this business for 15 years. And I've got a DVD that does exactly that. It was a live seminar that I used to teach, and we've expanded the program, so I don't teach this part of it anymore. We put it on DVD. It's about 3 hours of the things you need to think about before you become an owner-operator, running a quick budget to see if it's even financially advisable,
definitely,
and then how to find equipment, how to negotiate for equipment, how to inspect equipment, how to choose a carrier, how to set the business startup. I think there's a huge opportunity here to get that DVD into the hands of the people you're working with.
Yeah, I'd love to. Do you have a website?
I'm going to put you on hold. And Lisa, are you listening?
I am. It sounds like I'm going to be working here in a minute.
All right, Eric. I'm going to put Eric back on hold so you two talk about a DVD.
Okay.
Thanks a lot.
All right, thanks for joining us, Eric, and I will a brand new listener. That's pretty cool. Let's see, and maybe we just cut some sort of a deal there. Let's see if I can get Matt this time. Matt, are you with me?
Yes, I am.
There you are. What's up?
Okay. Say, you guys mentioned the $250,000 cutoff there,
yeah.
And then you said, I didn't catch who you were talking to, but that's on gross.
No, I didn't really want to get into it. I think what Carrie meant was taxable, gross taxable from an employee's point of view, not gross business income.
Yeah, because I mean, you know, I'm an S corp,
right?
And you know, except for last year, I've always been over the $250,000.
Yeah,
gross.
Well, and here's the other thing that they seem to be changing there too. Now the number that I see everywhere is 200,000, not 250.
Yeah.
So it's working its way down.
Yeah, and this goes back to Bush, but you know when all this started and the FDIC, they up the FDIC insurance on every bank account from 100,000 to 250.
Right.
You know, that was only temporary.
Nothing is temporary when it comes to government. Has anybody, you know, does the word toll road mean anything to anybody?
Yeah. I don't remember the date, but there's a little sign in the window at my bank.
Yeah.
And I think it's 2013 is it goes back down to the 100.
It was supposed to, you know, stem everybody's fears and a run on the bank, and, you know,
it's the wording they use. I mean,
I know.
Like you said, you know, they can come on, and when they talk about taxes, they can pretty much say anything they want to say, and you can almost not be proven wrong with just a couple of words that you use.
Well, that's exactly right. And one of the things, well, I'll tell you what, the time is just flying by tonight, even though we're not taking any breaks. One of the things that I was going to talk about was the retirement, what they're talking about in retirement. I'm going to read you this paragraph because it's exactly what you just said. When they talk about taxes, they can say anything they want because our tax code is so complicated that you can never pin anybody down. And here's the way they word this, and I just challenge anybody to tell me what this paragraph means after I'm done with it. Here we go. The Department of Labor and the Department of the Treasury, the agencies, are currently reviewing the rules under the Employment Retirement Income Security Act, which is ERISA, and the plan qualification rules under the Internal Revenue Code to determine whether and, if so, how the agencies could or should enhance, by regulation or otherwise, the retirement security of participants in employer-sponsored retirement plans and individual retirement arrangements, IRAs, by facilitating access to and use of lifetime income or other arrangements designed to provide a lifetime stream of income after retirement. The purpose of this request for information is to solicit views, suggestions, and comments from plan participants, employers, and other plan sponsors, plan service providers, and members of the financial community, as well as the general public on this important issue. Now, does that sound like government doublespeak or what?
I need to look at that in writing because you lost me.
Well, let me paraphrase where they're going with this. And you don't get it from that paragraph, but I did a bunch more.
Well, yeah.
We have a huge national debt right now, right? I mean,
and that's one other example I want to give you, but go ahead and yours first.
Huge, huge. I mean, it's just ridiculous what's going on with our debt and our deficit. And we can't sell it anymore to the rest of the world. We can't sell it to the Chinese. I mean, at some point, they're just not going to buy government securities, and that's how we finance that debt, is through T-bills, government-backed securities. So when you read this paragraph, right now, if you are in an employer-sponsored plan, a 401k or an IRA, most people have their money in mutual funds. Right? This is what every good financial planner has recommended forever. Be in the market. Be in mutual funds because there's it's the best return. Proven over and over and over. No matter how many hits we take on the stock market, there are still better returns in mutual funds than anywhere else. Now, what they're talking about when they talk about, in all this, they talk about lifetime income or other arrangements designed to provide a lifetime stream of income after retirement. They are talking about trying to get their hands on all the money that's in retirement accounts now, that's in mutual funds and other investments, and move it over into government securities to provide a lifetime stream of income, annuities, T-bills. They are talking about getting their hands on private retirement money to help finance the debt of this country. How scary is that?
Yeah. I almost don't know what I want to say here because
I'm sure you don't.
There's a extremely small part of that that I actually agree with. For just to make a point, not that I would ever support it, but you know. Bush wanted to privatize, you know, he wanted to re-ramp Social Security and privatize part of it.
Right.
Okay. Well, I think that's a great idea to do a forced private retirement. Social Security is only meant to be something. Not even 50% of what you need.
You just made a good point. Isn't Social Security already our lifetime stream of income?
Yeah.
It doesn't run out. I mean, it's not a huge amount of money, but that's our safety net already.
Yep. And that's all it's supposed to be.
Right.
It's not supposed to be your retirement. It's
right.
supposed to be just enough to, you know, so that people are not in poverty. That's all it's supposed to be.
Exactly. It's supposed to keep some food on the table and a roof over your head. Nothing else. And actually,
yep.
It's really only supposed to be designed as a supplement to your other of retirement income, just a supplement, not your sole source of money. So if we already have that, why in the world do we want to take money that's invested the way it should be and start encouraging people to put it into things like government-backed securities for their retirement?
Yeah. The only thing I would agree with it about is it would make people realize where their money is.
Right.
If everybody's retirement is tied up in the debt of our government,
yeah.
I mean, there's already a huge movement going on, but I think that would speed it up.
You're right. There are some ways that could have been used for the good, but it's not. It's being used for the exact opposite. It's being used.
Yeah.
To try to overcome this unbelievable debt that the government is creating, and it will ruin people's retirement. There's almost zero return on those type of investments. They barely keep up with inflation.
Yeah.
But it's this huge amount of money, and I'm trying to think. There's something even with the markets where they are right now. There's something like $3 trillion. Sitting in IRAs and 401ks, and that's more money than the government can handle. They just salivate over getting their hand on some of that, and that's all this is about. Real quick, I want to get to a couple more calls. Give me one comment on Atlas Shrugged. I'm putting you on the spot, but what do you think?
Actually, I just started listening to it again today.
Did you really?
Just at the beginning, the first law and thing they're talking about. Dog-eat-dog competition.
The dog-eat-dog. Leave it right there. We might do a whole show on that. I'm going to cut you loose. Thanks for joining me. I want to get to a couple more calls before we've got to wrap this up. Let's try Ben. Welcome to the program.
Hello?
Ben, are you with me? Yep, it's your turn.
Yeah. Oh, how's it going, Kevin?
It's going great.
Good.
The time's just flying by tonight. I don't know about for anybody else, but it's going too fast for me.
It sure is. It's amazing how quick you can make an hour disappear when there's something worth talking and listening to and about. Just wanted to make a quick comment. Where do you even you can go? Many, many different directions. I guess I'll try and stick with what I told Lisa. I called just I think it would be really cool if we could somehow make the government more transparent with what they do with our money. Obama talked about it before he came into office, and if they actually were able to held, I think that the government needs to be held accountable for what and responsible for what they do with the taxes, with the money. They already collect way more than they'd ever need to run any kind of system they want, and it seems like it's squandered away.
Absolutely. Yeah, they collect far more than any reasonable government should ever need. The problem is, even after collecting all that money, we're running ridiculous deficits and debts because they're squandering even more. I mean, not only do we need to get the government back down to only spending what they collect, that's just step one. Step two is they have to stop collecting so much because it's ridiculous, all the government programs and waste. And I'm not completely against government programs. I mean, there are some things, legitimate things that government should be doing, even somewhat on the social side. But we have got to get the outrageous spending under control first. And when you talk about transparency, I don't ever remember. It's so funny that you know, this administration has run on the idea of being transparent when it is the least transparent administration I've ever seen in my lifetime.
Ever. Yeah, it's almost like they tell you what they think we want to hear, and they do the exact opposite. And then that's becoming more and more transparent as each election year goes by. But I think if it was transparent, it would force them to be it would get things back to the way government was supposed to be. I agree that there is supposed to be some money there for some social reasons, and there are conditions where that is important, and there is a slight need for that. But it's all headed in the wrong direction the way they're going, and if it could somehow become transparent, it would force them to do. To act in a more modest way, the way government was designed to be. And it would also keep them from making a lot of dumb laws that creating more enforcement. If they focused on showing us where our dollars actually going, they might have a little less time and energy to put into making new regulations required.
Why don't we just start with this one? Why don't we just start with a law that says for every new law you write, you have to eliminate 5 old ones?
That's a phenomenal idea.
For every new law you want to create, you first have to eliminate 5 others. That'll keep them busy, keep them out of our hair, and at least start cleaning up the books a little bit, because it's ridiculous. And thanks, Ben, for that. You know, one of the things, I'm going to get to another caller, maybe two, but we're starting to run out of time. One of the things you're hearing tonight, and I think you heard it from me at the beginning, we heard it from many of the callers. We didn't have a real specific topic tonight. I kind of did this on purpose to just kind of get the ball rolling on this. But if you don't have a specific topic when we're talking about government, what you hear, and you heard it in my voice and the callers, is almost exasperation of where do we start? I mean, if you're going to talk about government, what's wrong? Where do you even start? And I think so many people are feeling that today. And like I say, in the future, we are going to do this. I'll pick some very specific topics. We'll do some polls. We'll vote on what we're going to talk about. And then we will go from there. But as always, it's a free-for-all. That's part of what the show is going to be about. I am going to get to another caller, too. Tony, it's your turn.
Hey, Kevin. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. What's on your mind?
First, I got a comment talking about politics. And, you know, on your show, your regular show, a lot of times it don't go over real big. And I think one of the reasons is that you don't make it personal to the trucking industry. Like the $250,000 as an example, you know, not just keep talking about, you know, how they're going to tax people with $250,000, think about, you know, how about your company drivers out there that's driving for a guy with 10 trucks?
You know, this
he's probably making the $250,000. How do you think that's going to affect you? He can't keep paying you what he's paying you now. And, you know, making it more personal to the truck driver and the trucking industry.
That's a great point, because you're right. This is a good example of, and I've got all these numbers. I could sit down and tell you just about at what point, what size fleet does it take, you know, reasonably well managed, how many trucks does it take before you're at that $200,000 a year level in income where you are going to be hurt by these taxes? I love that idea. Thank you.
Right. And on to my question, I feel about Obama about the same way that you do. And I think the economy is starting to pick up right now. I think we're going to have a real good year this year. But mainly, I think it's going to be a false good year, but I think it's going to be a good year because they're going to do everything that they can to make it look like the economy's picking up to try to help their election. And I'd love to buy another truck and put another driver in it, but I'm kind of scared to right now because I think next year we're going to see something worse than the Depression. What is your thought on that?
A little fear is healthy, so it's good that you fear it a little bit. But here's the other thing that I still believe in. The free market, even with all the government intervention, is still a very powerful engine, and there's still a lot of room in our economy. No matter how bad the economy gets, even if we talk about depression-level stuff, which is really out there, but if we talk about that, there were people making money during the Depression. There were people building fortunes during the Depression. So I'm still an optimist and an entrepreneur that no matter what the government does, I'm going to figure out a way to make money. And we're never going to stop moving goods around the country. We are in somewhat of a recession-proof industry in that you can't wipe us out completely.
He's wanting to make everything one big thing so he could control it. So he's one of the things that he's really going to, I think, when it comes down to it, is putting out most of the owner-operators, putting everything into your Swifts and Snyders so that it's all in one spot to where he can control it, just like the
labor
unions and things like that.
And I think you're asking for some business advice here on whether you would do this or not. If you're in a position, I would do it. I would say I wouldn't be afraid of expanding, because one of the advantages to our economy right now is expanding is I won't say risk-free, but it's a whole lot less risky than it used to be for two big reasons. Equipment is dirt cheap, and drivers are much more plentiful right now. So expanding a small trucking company right now, it's just not that tough. I'm going to squeeze in another caller here. Ron, welcome to the program.
Yeah, how's it going, Kevin? Hopefully I'll won't drop this call. But I just wanted to touch on the health care bill little bit. And I really don't trust this administration or the powers that be right now. And one of the things that I heard, I think it was on Glenn Beck today, he was saying that in the health care bill that originally Obama was talking, if you want to keep your doctor, you can do that, and that that they weren't going to come in between a patient and their doctor. And then they had a little clip of Obama saying, somehow somebody slipped that into the bill, and I just thought that was kind of funny.
Well, I talked a little earlier about why the economy won't take off, because everybody's sitting back, small business is sitting back, wondering what to do. If they're going to make these sweeping tax law changes, you have to wait to see what's going to happen. The same thing is going on with healthcare right now, in that we don't know. When people call me and they want advice on healthcare, what they should do, I don't know what to tell them. I don't know what's going to happen to HSA. So it almost makes sense to sit back and wait. If they're going to push through this health care bill, I'm in this position. I need to do something different with my health care right now because of a couple changes we've made business-wise, and I don't know what to do. For anybody who was on the show last night, I want you to know that I wasn't hearing – well, I was hearing voices, but I thought everybody was hearing them. Just now – and it's not Lisa either – just now some British-sounding woman came on and said, I only have 90 seconds. And last night I think I was telling her to shut up already, and I didn't realize nobody else could hear her. So if you thought I was nuts last night hearing voices, see, there she goes again. Now she's telling me I only have 60 minutes left. Lisa?
It's scary, isn't it, guys?
All right. Well, we blew through another hour. Next week, I will do my best to get 3 to 5 topics picked out, outlined ahead of time, so you've got some time to maybe do a little reading. One of the things I want to encourage people to do is get involved with this call. And when we do have a topic, I want you to go do some research. So I'll try to get it out to you ahead of time. I want you to go do some reading, and I want you to bring some opinions and you know, what you got out of your reading and your research, because that's a big part of what I want people to be doing is becoming more informed. Oh, boy. All right. I got 10 seconds. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, everyone.
See you in about 30 minutes on the live show on Sirius and XM. Good night, everyone.
Good night.